the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where we're here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're the opportunity, so am I, and so it is. We are a center that celebrates life. These mornings, these Sunday mornings, we don't call them church services. We call them life celebrations because we're celebrating your life, my life, and everyone's. Regardless of who you are, how you self-identify, male, female, non-binary, and every other kind of letter in the alphabet that goes behind that, we celebrate you and we honor you. Regardless of your ethnicity, how you self-identify is what matters because it's what matters to you. So I'm here to tell you that thank you for being here. Thank you for participating in this online, wherever you are, and to invite you to know with me that there is something greater going on around you always than what meets the eye. And that's a lot of what we're here to look at today is how do we see beyond what's in front of us? How do we see what's a bigger picture than the one that's showing up right here in our faces? And we'll be talking about that more today as well. So I'd like for you to know a little about who we are. So to tell you what we believe, here is some information about our Declaration of Principles. And if you'd like, read along. And if you want to read out loud, do that or just listen. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. If you've heard that today, perhaps online or for the first time, or you were hearing it today in a way that maybe you haven't before, that should raise some questions for you. Like, really? One power? Well, where do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen? Where does that come from? Why aren't we just automatically doing everything good if this power is for good? All those kinds of questions we deal with, we talk about, and we dig into in our classes and in our talks and in our discussions. So stay with us and see what you can find out about that. And if you have questions, there'll be times afterward and there'll be times in classes and such to really dig into some of that because it's important. This is not just a platitude. This is a way of understanding the world that gives us power and gives us a way to be in the world. So one of our groups of people that we have here as part of our center are practitioners. That sounds clinical and medical, perhaps, but these are folks who worked with these teachings, worked with these ideas, and have found new experiences for their lives, new expressions for their lives, and can also guide and assist other people in finding that newness as well. So a practitioner is anyone who can help and support you in that. Today, we have one of our practitioners with us live from St. Petersburg, and we have the wonderful Norma Roberts. Take it away, Norma.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. I sincerely thank everyone for being here today as we continue our monthly theme on relationships. Ernest Holmes says that as we have found that man is threefold in his nature, we deduce that God is full in his nature, that God is law in action, and God is results. Our fortune in the first three readings of this month's Science and Magazine Daily Guides, informing us of the flow of the process of our relationships. You're informed that as we have relational beings, we are relational beings. Our primary relationship is with the Spirit of God. The nature of this relationship is immutable, but our understanding of it depends on our belief. The second most important relationship in life is with ourselves. Borrowing from our relationship with spirit, this relationship with ourselves sets the stage for how we exist and express in the world. After your relationship with spirit and yourself, are your relationships with others. While these vary in degree and intensity, all are based on the quality of your primary relationship with spirit and self. By seeing your divine connection and fully loving yourself as an adult of God, you create the basis for authentic relationships with others. We're reminded that our God-given relationships is the same process as the seed, the soil, and the flower, and eventually the bouquet. And now let us prepare ourselves as we move into treatment. Just relax, take a deep cleansing breath, and know that as I speak in the first person, I speak as you. Accept what you can and let everything else go. I know it is but one life. That life is God, and that life is my life now, right here and right now. The great creative and intelligent life of God expresses itself magnificently everywhere. And at all times. This infinite life knows and does, chooses and creates, and brings all manner home into being. As an individualized manifestation of this life, I accept that I too am great, creative, and intelligent. I live, move, and have my experience within the mind of God, and I am the instrument of its expression. The same wisdom that brings about universes acts within my mind to manifest perfectly in my world and in all of my relationships. Constantly, in the flow of infinite intelligence, I embrace the good that I desire and is already mine by right of consciousness. This good is ready right now to present itself in my life as my experience. I invite, permit, and direct the power within me to flow forth into expression as supreme health, exquisite, loving, lasting, and joyous relationships, overflowing expected and unexpected abundance and joyous creative ideas in expression. Utilizing my personal portion of divine intelligence, I am aware that my life is the life of God. I know that I am the living representation of all that the infinite is. Therefore, I know that speaking my word is sufficient to keep the creative process active. And I leave the rest to universal wisdom. For my God will make a way where there is no way. My heart is filled with joy and thanksgiving as I happily release my word and witness the perfect outworking of the law of mind that responds by corresponding. I let go. I let God be God and know that it is so now. And so it is. Thank you again for being here.
This past week, I've been standing together for actually a big part of the last 2 weeks with about, 85, 90 of my favorite teenagers at our Sisters of Spiritual Living teen camp outside of Aronia, Washington. We recently purchased that camp space for Citrus of Spiritual Living, and now have a permanent place to do all kinds of seminars and camp experiences. But our purpose in being there was to create a space and an atmosphere of unconditional love in which teenagers could come together, they could be themselves, they could express themselves, and be held in a container that allowed them that freedom, but also invited them to go to a deeper place, to go to a higher place of understanding about themselves and about what the world's like and where they are. So one of the real peak events, one of the best workshops, we do that through workshops and psychoeducational experiences that are designed and created for that purpose. And one of my favorite ones, or one of the ones that brought the most about of enthusiasm, is that we built, or was already there at the camp, there's a water slide that runs from the top of one of the hills all the way down to the bottom. I don't know, maybe 100 feet, maybe more. Very steep, very fast. And what we invited them to do was to, we did a process before they were to go down the water slide. And we came up with things that they wanted to release and be done with and be rid of. And teens came up with things like my fear of making bad grades, or my fear of the issues with my parents, or my disrespect, or my disrespecting of people. So they came up with a whole lot of things as we talked and processed, and replaced that with an affirmation that they were to scream as they went down the water slide. And they did. It was one of the most exciting, enthusiastic things. We had the water running at the top, and about halfway down, another person standing there with a water hose keeping the water going. And adults, teens, all of us went flying down the slide on our backs. We made everybody stay on their backs, even though some of the braver people wanted to go face first. We were like, no, 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 no. Liability, we're not doing that. We don't want to clean you up out of the grass when you get to the bottom. But it was a great, exciting experience where people were able to just let go and have fun, and at the same time declare something better, something more truthful. And through the whole week, we created a real sense of community there, a community where everyone was brought forward and contributing, given a place. We all had everyone divided into families, and we did all of these wonderful exercises and games and things. And then by the end of the week, as is always the case after this week with camps, there's lots of tears and lots of sadness as people leave and go back to what they were started out calling the real world, but they ended up calling the less than real world. The real world being that place in which you have freedom, that place in which you have joy, that place in which you have love, and you are loved, and you're supported, and you're held in a way that allows you to be yourself. And it was exciting, as it is every year. This is the first time in 3 years that we've been together because of COVID. So it was a really wonderful opportunity to come back together. Some of my co-advisors are people who were teenagers and I've known since they were 13. They are now adults out of college and going on in careers, but come back to give back because they receive so much here. So it's a real sense of community. And that's what I want to talk about today. Our title is You and Me Create Society, or something like that. You and We Create Society. I didn't get the word exactly right, but and I've already been corrected on the bad grammar of it by one of our wonderful helpers. It doesn't matter about the grammar, because the point here is I want us to talk about who we are and our relationship with society. CSL Worldwide has a slogan that we are working toward and working from, that says we are living for a world that works for everyone. When I first heard that, I kind of had this cynical thing that was like, well, it already does. For those angry people, they get angry responses. For those people who have joy and love in their hearts, they get joy and love experiences. For those who believe in duality and pain and suffering, they have pain and suffering. Well, that's not really what this is about. This is about creating a world where everybody has the opportunity to live freely, to live joyfully, to live with love, and to rise to a place of higher understanding and knowledge about who they are and what they can become. it's a world that really does work for everyone. Here's some of the ideas from the vision that we have for CSL, and this center is a part of that larger international community. And that is, we see a world that works for everyone, where all life is honored as an expression of the divine. We say that every week. Such is the nature of the divine, such is the nature of life, that all it wants is the opportunity to show up, and you're that. Where people live according to spiritual truth, where unity and connection is emphasized, not separateness and differences, where humanity awakens to its spiritual magnificence. I have been saying since long before that slogan showed up, that if we really understood who we are, and if all people understood who we really are in relationship to the divine, our world would be a different place than it is now. But we don't. We see ourselves limited. We see ourselves separate. We see ourselves smaller. We see other people as perhaps not connected, but we are. We see all kinds of ways where it's anything but the truth of who we are in the larger metaphysical expression of things. Where we live, where in this world where we would live as one global community, where we have kinship with all life, with all the life prospering that goes on. We are called to conscious social action. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. Conscious social action. You know, we don't talk a lot about social action here. We talk about the most important part of social action, which is understanding the consciousness behind it, understanding those things in our consciousness that we want to bring forward into the world. And yet, the action required is whatever comes up for each individual that you feel you need to do. And it's not about having social action against something. That's the best way for your social action to get nowhere. It is about social. Think back of the social action movements that have been about being against something. Most of them have come and gone. I've been a part of some of those. ACT UP was one of them. We were against, always pushing back. And yet, it's not there anymore. But what has survived are those social action groups that provide something very different, that were about providing health care, that were about providing support, providing freedom, providing good things for people. And some of that took some marching in the streets to accomplish in order to bring that into form and shape in our world back then. So whatever that is in you that's pushing you to say, we want more of this, take the action that you're called to do, which might simply be to do a spiritual mind treatment, or to do prayer about it, or to meditate on it, or make contributions to it. It might be to get out and march in the streets. We as a center, as a group, don't advocate any one particular cause from a social action standpoint, because that's up to you. That's up to the individual, not this group. Because we got folks here working on campaigns of various people who oppose each other. So how would we, in a loving oneness community, determine that this one's right and that one's wrong? We don't do that. We give you the support, the ideas, to do the very best that you can do, knowing that consciousness will prevail. It is where we are called to conscious social action, where people have enough food, homes, and sense of belonging. That's so important. And today we know homelessness has become a huge issue. I just came back from the West Coast, where it's even bigger than it is around here, and it has become a major issue in several cities. Some areas are doing very well in working with that and providing some good services and some good help for folks, and other areas are doing less and having less success. We're called to a consciousness where forgiveness is the norm. Wow. Wouldn't that be sweet? This is an idealistic picture, no question about it. Forgiveness is the norm. Where there is peace, harmony, and justice for all, where there is a renewed emphasis on beauty, nature, creativity, art, and aesthetics. I have a friend whose idea of their home is to create beauty in any direction they look. So wherever they look in their home, they see beauty, because beauty reminds them of order and power and goodness and life. That's pretty wonderful. I've been in their home, and it's pretty amazing. They may be on the call today. Where there is renewed, beautiful resources are valued and cared for and shared, where communities are meaningfully involved in service to the world. So that's the ideals that our larger organization, Tom. Our part in that is that we teach spiritual truth. We teach spiritual ideas that can guide and help every individual on how to relate and be part of these communities that we're in and these communities that we live in and participate in. There's a very interesting idea that goes back thousands of years, actually. It goes predates Christianity, goes all the way back into early Judaism. It may indeed predate Judaism. And that are, those are the wisdom teachers, the wisdom teachings, not attributed particularly to any one teacher. And those wisdom teachers and teachings had one thing in mind, and that is to motivate us and to welcome and invite us to break out beyond our binary thinking, our egoic thinking, our thinking that says, this is good and this is bad, this is right and this is wrong, this is hot and this is cold, this is high and this is low, all of that kind of dual binary thinking, and to invite us into the heart space of wholeness. These go back, like I said, thousands of years. They were articulated beautifully in the teachings of the Christ, of Jesus. Not in the way the church has latched onto those teachings and turned them into to teachings about power or about just being nice and being sweet. They are about transforming consciousness. They're about inviting us to look above and beyond. You know, I like to use the example of oneness as being things like hot and cold. Hot and cold are not two different things. I mean, show me a cold thing you can turn on. You can't. All you can do to create cold is to suck the heat out. Hot and cold are just measures of the same things. So they're not two different things. They're one thing looked at from two different directions. The same thing with light and dark. You can't turn on a dark bulb. You can turn on a black light, but that creates another whole kind of light. But you can't create and turn on a dark bulb. So light and dark are one thing, but different measurements, different degrees of the presence of light are what that's about. So we find this thing and we start being pulled and drawn toward a higher idea or a bigger idea or a broader idea. It's called transformation. It goes way back to the early Egyptians, the Hemetic teachings, where they say, as within, so without, as above, so below. There's only one idea, and it's reflected in all four of those directions. So our point in this teaching, it's not so much to teach you what to believe, but how to think. We want to teach you how to see, not what you should see. So when we look at something like the abuses in the world, and the abuse and the abused, we look at the victims and the perpetrators. We want you not just to see one side or the other. We want to teach you how to see the two together, because both are necessary. You can't have a victim without a perpetrator. You can't have a perpetrator without somebody to victimize. You can't have a bully without a bullied person. You know, these kind of dualities are all around us, and yet when we look at them more carefully, we can rise to a different place in consciousness and see it differently. Which may indeed help us, because if we get stuck right in that one way of seeing that is ours and we can't see that other side, then that is where we get scared. That is where people get frightened and afraid, and love goes away and is replaced by all kinds of other, you know, aggression and such. So it's about moving from that binary mind to the heart wholeness mind, to the mind that sees the wholeness in all things. Now, does that mean you shouldn't take sides if there's sides to be taken? You shouldn't stand for truth if you see truth as being one side or the other? Of course not. But it means as you're going for something, you're not worried about pushing against the other thing. You only go for that which you're for. I am for freedom. I am for light. I am for life. Martin Luther King took this to a whole other place when he talked about the beloved community. I'm sorry, Martin Luther King Jr., not his dad. He said the end in talking about the beloved community, he said the end is reconciliation. The end is redemption. The end is the creation of the beloved community. It is this type of spirit and this type of love that can transform opponents into friends. I had a great experience of this when our organizations joined together from the two older organizations that used to be here. We started trying to create new programming, and I was in charge back at home office, and I had a room full of people who really didn't like each other. One side didn't like the other because they were right and the other ones were wrong. And yet they were committed to coming to some kind of agreement, some kind of place where they could come together. And they did. Over a 2-year period, we went from kind of distrusting watching each other like, well, let's see how this goes, into people who were colleagues and friends and were working together on creating something wonderful and new for the world. And we took it a great step forward. And right now in the organization, they're taking it a whole nother step that's going to be showing up in the next few weeks. You'll be hearing about. There's a book by my friend Dr. Jim Lockhart, who has taken this teaching in his own personal life above and beyond. He has done sitters here in the U.S. and now he lives in Europe, and he's retired from ministry. He's writing and doing some wonderful books and things. But he's also living in France and following his second passion, which is wine. And he does wine tours for people, but he takes it to another level by talking about consciousness. It's not a just go get drunk tour. It's a go learn wine and learn the nuances and the places and see where it's grown and why it tastes the way it does. And I don't even begin to understand even a small part of what he knows about that. But his book, which is based on Martin Luther King's idea, is called Beloved Community. And in that, he says that the beloved community is a place where there's a consciousness of wholeness, where there are no victims, where we see the world in a different way. We look beyond the victims to something greater and something more. He writes in that about how to grow and develop a beloved community. And I believe it is the goal of every spiritual community to be and become a beloved community, whatever community means to you, whatever society that may mean to you, however close or however not close people are within it. There are some key parts to it that are so important. Things like a consciousness of love and connection. And what I know about this center and this community, because I've been a part of it since 1984, before it was this particular individual group, but while we were gathered in another space, in another place, that love and connection is real, and it's a very important part of it, and it's defined by each individual within the group. So that some want connection where you get to know each other up close and personal and get in each other's business and know who's doing what and how they're doing and drink coffee together and call each other up and find out how they're doing with this, that, or the other. And it's also those who simply love and honor one another when they walk in and sit down together. And that's all they want. And that's fine too. Because we each get to define what connection means and how we want to have it. Whether it's here in this community or is in our world out there. Those places and communities that we belong to. There's a consciousness of deep and radical self-knowledge. And that is one of the real keys for our teaching. That to do this teaching, to understand this teaching, you have to start and end where it begins, and that is with the self. Not the S, selfishness self, but the S, the self, as you understand who you yourself, who you are and how you work and how you live in the world. We are fully and completely committed then to a consciousness of healing. This teaching started as a teaching healing ministry. Long before there were preachers like me standing up and talking to people, there were groups and individuals gathering to do healing work together and then teaching others about how that worked and why it worked and what happened. That's how we started. It's a consciousness of vision. We talk a lot about affirmations, having the vision of who you want to become, of what you want to see happen in the world. It's a consciousness of pioneering, of being different and being willing to be different. How different can you be if it's true to who you are? How willing are we to stand against perhaps social norms or other norms, or at least to stand free from those as we speak our truth, whatever that might be? You're supposed to do a certain thing a certain way. Well, maybe, maybe not. We have a consciousness of evolution and emergence. You know, spiritual growth, any kind of growth, doesn't go backwards. Plants don't start here and go back. They start here, they go more, they become seeds, and they do it all over again. And each time it evolves to something more. Life always goes forward in its growth, and we are fully committed to that. We are fully committed to that idea. A beloved community is all about mutual support. It is about conscious contribution. It is about consciousness of possibility and resilience. I've just had such a great time this week looking and thinking about all this, because it's this transformation of consciousness shows up everywhere. We don't necessarily see it if we're not looking for it, because we've been told what things mean. So much of what Jesus was about and those Jesus teachings. And I know sometimes people get uncomfortable when I talk about that, because we've all had some history with the church that may or may not be comfortable. But the Jesus of the Bible and the Jesus of literature, not the Jesus of the dogma, and whether you believe the story ever happened or not, really is irrelevant. What matters is those teachings are about taking you from the binary to the wholeness of the heart. And when you start looking at some of it that way, you go, wow. That's why some folks say he was a religious scientist and didn't know it. But he was already, whoever wrote those teachings was already doing that work 2,000 years ago. And we're still catching up. We're still figuring it out. We're still learning how to apply it in beautiful and wonderful ways. So, how do we become one? How do we become more of a beloved community? How do we relate between ourselves and our social world around us, like we do everything else? It's like, what does your heart draw you to? What do you desire to be involved in and part of? That was one of the most powerful things I learned when I first got here, is that desires aren't a bad thing. Desire is a good thing. Because I was taught, if you like it and it feels good, it's probably a sin. It's probably wrong. Well, it didn't, and it wasn't. Because what we know now is desire that rises up from inside of you is the whisper of spirit for you to evolve and grow into something more, whatever the more is. And the thing I've really learned for myself these last 2 weeks in my travels is that more never stops. You know, we are so bombarded that when we reach a certain age, or we have certain things happening in our bodies, or we have certain things that can be defined as old. I got called old man a lot over the last 2 weeks by the teens, but always done with joy and a bit of laughter and a sort of wink, even though they didn't wink. That was the idea. I felt a lot of affection and love with that. And I didn't feel any sense of you're not good enough or diminished. And yeah, I had trouble getting up and down that mountain, chasing them up and down the hills, doing all those things that we were doing. Just because this body has been around a while. But you know what? I kept working with it. By the end of the week, I was in pretty good, much, much better shape than at the beginning of the week, which tells me what? That I need to keep moving. Hello. So we never outgrow the opportunity to grow. We're never too old for the more. We're never too beyond that point, unless we believe we are. And as soon as we start believing we are, we start to grow older and we start to atrophy It's either grow or die. Grow towards the more and the greater, or grow towards the less and the end. And I am done with that, or any kind of element of thinking that. In spite of being called grandpa every day, which is kind of a fun thing when I get called that, actually. Doesn't make me feel old anymore at all. So how do we do it? We keep going with, okay, this is my desire. And then affirming that that desire is coming from the infinite, and start looking for and watching for those opportunities for it to grow and develop and become more. And to step into it with ease and joy. I've lost a lot of weight recently. You may not tell, but I have. And when I got my clothes all packed up to go out west and got out west and started putting them on, I hadn't worn this real clothes in a long time because I've mostly been at home in shorts. And my George, they were all too big. And one of my friends out there said, oh, you can't run around looking like that. You're all baggy. Like, we got to get you some clothes that fit. Well, there was no time in the schedule to stop and go shopping. Plus, she was really loves to shop, so it was perfect. Well, boom, Spirit says, okay, we'll give you a chance. And I had a dental problem, and I had to go get it taken care of on my way from where we were staying to the camp. And I called a place, and they said, oh, yeah, we can do that in an hour. So during that hour, we took all of our dirty clothes from camping. We washed them. We went and went shopping and got me some new clothes, some new pants, particularly that didn't fall off of me, and which is really important when you're running up and down hills. So we got that done, and we got my teeth fixed, and they're better than ever. And all of these things are within an hour, and it wasn't planned. If I had tried to figure out how to do that, it would never have happened. But I had a desire. And I knew what I wanted to be and how I wanted to end up. And I knew what the more was. And then it just started coming to me. Now, it looked like a bad thing to start with because it hurt. But it turned out not to be. It turned out really simple and fixed and over and done. And back in the car and headed the last few miles to camp. So that's how we do it. We create that beloved community by creating the beloved self. Norma said it. We start with us. And then we start with those we love. And then we grow to treating everyone as if they are the beloved community. No matter how much we may disagree with their stance on anything, we see them with the wholeness of what's behind wherever they are. There's a lot of fear in the world. People are operating so much out of fear right now. And all I can do for those folks is love them. All I can do for those folks is offer a word when it's invited that says something different. And so to that end, I want to leave us with one last idea. And that is, all that is happening in the out there, as out, as without, so within, as above, so below, all of that happening out there has elements of it in each of us. I don't know about you, but there have been times that I was mad enough at something that I wanted to destroy it and get rid of it, where I wanted to do away with things that were in my way or I thought were. We all have our moments of that. And the best way we can sort out this conflicted world we're in right now is to get out of that conflict within ourselves. And one of the most powerful spiritual practices for that is the Ho'oponopono, which is a prayer process developed by the Hawaiians. And it goes like this. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. What am I sorry for? I'm sorry for anybody in pain right now. I'm sorry that any thoughts in my mind may have been added to or contributed to the universal idea of pain and loss and hurt. I'm sorry for the times that my mental state contributed to the idea of victimhood, mine or anyone else's. Because the more we contribute to those thoughts, those thought patterns, the stronger they are in our society and they are in the world around us. So I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. One of the things I led the group in towards the end of camp was a forgiveness process where we had circle. And we asked everybody to walk across the circle who had ever experienced one thing or another. if they had experienced pain, if they had experienced hurt, if they'd been bullied, if they'd been a bully, altogether, without saying anything, they just walk across to the other side of the circle. I was blown away by how many people in that circle had been bullied and how many people in that circle had bullied other people. And when we got to the end of that, we did the Ho'oponopono. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And I invite you to try that the next time you're up against one of these walls or one of these issues that makes you want to scream and throw things. Just practice it. Say it again and again and again. And I'm well out of time, and I'm very glad to be here. You deserve the very best, and so do I. And so it is. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And now we'll hear from Vance.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Now it's time for our affirmation of prosperity, and it's a great opportunity to be here. Good to see all your smiling faces, and everybody online too. Hey. So we have an opportunity to give, to continue this teaching, to get it spread out into the world, to attract more people here in person and to be there. So if you will say the affirmation of prosperity with me, which is going to show up on the screen in a second, and you can donate at www.cslmidtown.org/donate. So the affirmation is, I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. You know, we'll turn it back to Dr. Bob for announcements.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so announcements will be shorter today. We will not run that video because I talked longer than I was allotted. However, two big announcements. One is that we will continue this hybrid celebration now every Sunday going forward, at least through the summer. And as we get into the fall, we will assess. But what is important to me is that you know, and that as many people as possible know, we're going to be here every Sunday. So join us. Be here. Come be part of this. Be here in person if you're comfortable doing that. We're also keeping it online and hybrid because we have wonderful participants from all over the country who are right here with us right now, even though you can't see them. And no, they're not ghosts. They're just here on the internet. So that's one announcement. The other is that beginning of September, we will be offering a class entitled The Everyday Mystic. There's a mystical element to this teaching that we don't usually talk about as mystical. And yet it's here, and it's a part of every time you meditate, every time you look for guidance, every time you ask what should I do next, and you listen inside, that's a mystical experience. So we're inviting you to consider this class, which is all about how to, not to learn about mysticism, but to learn to practice it, to practice mysticism in an even greater way, to get a sense of that guidance for your life. We'll also be offering a class in prosperity this fall, and who knows what else. I'm ready to start teaching again. So as long as people will show up, I'll do classes. And if they don't show up, I'll talk to myself, which won't be new. So thank you for being with us. I would like to close by reminding you that we are indeed here and that we are a beloved community in the making. We have been, to whatever degree we have been, and we will continue to be 100% moving in that direction. So I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is.